Governor Doug Ducey last week announced the Arizona Teachers Academy. It promises free tuition at the state's public universities for every year teachers teach in Arizona and is meant to try to close the teacher shortage the state has had for the past several years. But in fact, in 2006, Arizona adopted a similar program, which is now called the Arizona Teacher Student Loan Program. With me to talk about how to deal with the shortage is Carol Basile, dean of the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College at ASU. And Carol, what do you know so far about the Arizona Teachers Academy and how it'll affect what you do?
So this was a governor's initiative from the State of the State address, where he talked about the fact that we need to do something for teachers. And short of being able to give them all phenomenal raises, I think there is a desire to try to figure out how to put more money in the pockets of our teachers. One way to do that is to decrease loan indebtedness. So the Arizona Teachers Academy, first and foremost, provides tuition and fees for teacher candidates who apply to the Teachers Academy and want to be part of sort of a next generation initiative around what teachers, we think teachers can be. So at ASU, there's really two pieces of it. One piece of it is about the reduction of loan indebtedness and providing tuition and fees for a group of our students, not all of our students at this point. But the other piece of it is a programmatic mission for us, where we are trying to prepare teachers that we believe should be more what we call entrepreneurial, people from inside the organization that are being creative about education, particularly the systems within education. And so this group of students who've been selected to be part of the Teachers Academy will be also part of another layer of programming around this notion of entrepreneurship and design and change in education systems.
Have students at the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College been having the opportunity to have either scholarships or loan forgiveness if they agree to certain conditions in terms of staying in the state to teach or teaching in particular kinds of schools or particular geographic type schools in the state?
So there are a number of different programs, both federal and local. We have a plethora of scholarships that students have been receiving. Some of those grants and partnerships have those kinds of requirements. There are certainly grants that we have from National Science Foundation have had over time that provide those kinds of opportunities for students. So those programs have been going on. We are hoping that what the Teacher Academy does allows us to actually grow that and grow that exponentially.
How big of a dent do you think that this program can put into the teacher shortage in the state?
So I'm of two minds about that. I think there's a short-term problem and there's a long-term problem. I think that short-term, if the universities and if the state can come together and find the kind of financial backing that they're going to need to be able to do this, then I think short-term this could help. But what we're asking today is we're asking year for year, and so they come out and they will spend a year or two in schools. I don't know that that's going to help us long term. So the college long term is really looking at a very different kind of solution in terms of actually redefining the entire education workforce. So this is the path that we're headed down. So we feel like this is a great possibly stopgap to this. But there is still the issue that we work with schools that are traditionally very flat organizations. For the most part, you have a principal and you have a group of teachers. And those teachers are all assigned a group of kids. And we require those teachers to know everything that the collective we knows about all of those kids and how to help those kids and how to teach those kids and how to support them with everything that they bring to the table. So our new initiative around this is really thinking very differently about who the education workforce is, how do we create different levels of workforce so that some people can get paid relative to the experience and the mastery they bring to the profession? How do we professionalize the profession? And then how do we redefine who the educator is?
You talked about professionalizing the profession, and there's been a lot of discussion in the education world, as I'm sure you know, that there's a concern that teachers maybe don't want to stay in the classroom or prospective teachers don't want to actually go into the classroom because of the, not just the pay, but sort of the respect factor, that there's a sense that teachers as a class of professionals are not respected. I'm wondering, what are you seeing at ASU in terms of the number of people who are interested in becoming teachers? Do people still want to be teachers, and do you see that they want to do it for the same reason that maybe they wanted to in decades past?
I think there's a lot of people who want to be in education. I think people are trying to figure out what the role is. I think they're trying to figure out, do I want to be a classroom teacher? We also see people who say, no, the classroom is not for me, but I really want to work in education. I want to work at influencing and impacting kids, but maybe in different settings, maybe in different ways. That group of people who still want to work in schools and want to work with kids as teachers, that's the population that we're seeing, where we're seeing a decline. And I believe that it's because of working conditions in some sense. So today we've got to think about, how do we shift that profession? How do we think about that job differently if we really want people to come into the profession and work in our schools?
Carol Basile is Dean of the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College at ASU. Carol, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.